C4. Number 23B.
In the course of this week, at one point, I was telling you how John Dolly asked himself why he was able to see the signs of Christian Science. Why it came to him, why it didn't came to somebody else, what is the necessary mental ground into which this idea could grow. And at that point he would always say, because I handled animal magnetism every day since he has become interested in Christian Science. He was very hot on that very point. But also, he said quite often, when the same question was asked, and it seemed like a contradiction, but naturally it isn't, it's a complementary idea, that he said that he goes every day through scientific obstetrics. And actually, as far back as I remember, the first time I met him, that was when I took class with him, he was teaching scientific obstetrics. And every association we had, he was beginning to teach scientific obstetrics. There was practically no occasion where he taught anything in a bigger way, like an association, like a summer school or anything like that, that he would not bring in scientific obstetrics. And I also remember that out of that whole teaching I had with him in primary class, that scientific obstetrics did make the greatest impression on me. I just felt I go home and all I want to do, if I haven't understood anything, I have understood one thing, namely, that's no use to try to plaster up a mortal with an immortal and try to bolster it up a little bit. The better way is the scientific way, namely, to get rid of the whole concept of being a mortal and give that up. Give up that there is a personal I, that there are a few billion personal I's running around each generation, and then comes another 3 billion little I's running around, personal I's running around. I just saw how stupid that is, how meaningless that is, really. Though sometimes one feels it's most important, I quite agree. One could see scientifically the nothingness, that it has no value, this people universe, that it has just no value, it has nothing in it. But I could see something what he taught, that it is divine science which is our origin, and that we are not a person, that we are not a man, that what is our consciousness, therefore that what we say, what am I, that I is consciousness, divine consciousness, which is conscious of what? Which is conscious of divine science. That is actually the great mutation that Jesus was showing, and he was a prototype of this new sense of consciousness, being no more the Son of Man, but the Son of God. And God has now been explained as a new comforter, as divine science. Therefore, what we are is nothing else but the awareness of the idea of divine science. And so I felt I can have a real shortcut in seeing what is my identity by getting rid of the whole old sense of man and even the idea man, and see that which has to be born within each one of us is the idea divine science. The idea science. That this is the consciousness of being. And since then, I think it has never let me go, that I was always working on that paragraph on obstetrics. I really did take it very serious when John Dolly asked us in that class to go over scientific obstetrics every day. And I've seen that those few who have done it, those very few who have done it over years and years, that they were actually being used by the idea of science to bring forth science. Here we have the teaching of Christian Science, which shows that it is science. Therefore, let's give birth to science. And not so much think about ourselves and say, let's give birth to our true being, to the true sense of man. And then still think about us, still think about the concept man. Here it is just divine idea. Now, I don't want to go into that very important passage on obstetrics, but you can see that the main tone there is that she gives there the method of how we can give birth to the idea, the divine idea, namely by detaching thought, mortal thought, from all material conceptions. Seems so simple, that very statement, and says, detach mortal thoughts from all material conceptions. And if we say, what does it mean? Then we see very quickly that it means to lose the whole mortal concept of a world, of a universe, of a peopled universe, a universe of things and objects, of thoughts, of human thoughts floating around. And to drop all that, to detach mortal thoughts from all material conceptions, then what is left? Then what is left is really that what we tried to do this week and last week, to sit back and say, now what's going on? What is that all? What is all? What is the nature of the all? And we begin to see the nature of that all is that we take the standpoint of the synonymous term and begin to ponder from the synonymous term the ideas of the synonymous term, the meaning, the nature of those synonymous terms, and see that that is all, and adding nothing else exists. Then we have touched the core of that obstetrics, of letting forth, of giving birth, of delivering, really, the idea science. Delivering, so to say, the new system of reference. If we go out from the capitalized term, then the child which we have is the divine system of reference. That's consciousness, that's, in little hyphens, called we. And that child of science is presented as a manifestation of that science, the divine system of reference, as the child of that science is presented in the next chapter, in the chapter on recapitulation. Therefore, recapitulation follows the chapter on teaching, namely to show what is the form of science that has been taught in the 13th chapter. Can you see, in the 13th chapter, which is called Teaching Christian Science, does not contain the teaching, the system of Christian Science. We cannot go back to that 13th chapter and ask, now what does Christian Science teach? What is the system of Christian Science? What are the categories of Christian Science? What are the fundamentals of Christian Science? That chapter on teaching just teaches us how to be a scientist. Because she begins, it's quite natural in every science, if we are not approaching a subject in a scientific way, that would be the chapter on teaching, then we cannot fathom what is being taught by that science. If I don't have a mathematical attitude, I can never really be a good mathematician, because I will never really understand the whole system of mathematics, or be even a genius in it, or even be an inventor and discoverer within that field. because it all depends on my attitude to be a scientist first. That 13th chapter gives us the means and the qualities to be a scientist, to be a scientist. Recapitulation then tells us what this science contains. What is the inner meaning of that science? What is the inner structure of that science? What are the categories of that science? What is the structure that holds that science together and that fills up that otherwise empty shell? This is recapitulation. Here we get the system of that principle. That's why it is science as the Christ. That science says, I have a Christ, I can explain myself. I explain myself to you. Then it is a Christ, because then it's a help, then it's a savior. Only when it explains can we use it. Only when it explains can we practice it. Only when it is explained we can understand it. Without explanation and expounding that principle, that principle is not the savior, because we cannot understand it and therefore cannot use it. Then therefore we cannot prove it. So here we have that explanation of that one principle as what? As the system of that principle. That's the form of principle. That's the form of our new beingness. Instead of saying that's the form of man, I would call it that's the form of our new mutated beingness, that we are the system, the calculus of a principle. You know how Peggy always likes to say, I'm a calculus, and I run like a calculus, I work like a calculus. Gives her that easy sense to be always that operation of the divine idea in its principle, principle operating as idea, never operating as a person, giving a sense of divine calculus in operation. So here we find that the form of this science, the structure really of this idea is presented, the system of it, the constituents of it, no matter how we can call it, because we know that here we suddenly find a chapter that is not laid out in the seven, because it has to give the system, so it can't be laid out in the seven. Can you see that? If it would only interpret itself as the seven, it would not give the system, but only the nature of being. So here we have the first chapter that is not laid out in the seven, because it has to lay out the system, and the system is the seven and the four and the levels. And so actually this chapter, as I take now John Dorley's explanation of that chapter, which I still feel has the best interpretation in it, gives us a sense that that chapter has 24 questions and answers. Half of them are on the level of absolute Christian science. Half of them are touching the level of Christian science. So 12 on absolute Christian science, 12 on the level of Christian science. Each 12 are shown here as the operation of the four. Therefore, 12 chapters divided by four are three chapters in the word. Therefore, in absolute and three in the relative. Three chapters then as the Christ. Three in the relative, three in the absolute. Three chapters in Christianity, absolute, and three in relative, three chapters in science, Christian science, relative and absolute. So that you have three times four, 12, and each one in absolute and relative, that's 24. The layout, as John Dorley has given it, is in my book. I haven't deviated from it, so that you have there that layout, you just can get it there. So I don't have to go into that. The main thing is for us, you see, in structuring our consciousness, that we begin to see that through the chapter on teaching Christian science, we first have to see that first we must be a scientist and not a religionist, and not a moralist. That the very first thing we have to establish within ourselves is a scientific attitude. And through seventh subject, our inner nature. You see, that's why it is still in the seven, because we culture our inner nature. And the moment I say nature, it's always the seven. We culture our inner nature in a scientific line so that we culture scientific attitudes within us in order to be finally the idea of science. That was the end of the 13th chapter. Then, when I have an inward scientific attitude, then I can also perceive the form of this science. Not the form of me now, the form of this science, of this principle. The manifestation of that one principle as the idea of principle. And so I get the calculus of Word, Christ, Christianity and science in its reflection, and then on the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science. This way giving the calculus of being. We always call calculus, take the term calculus as a super symbol, so to say, for calculating within the four. But the four is the calculus, and calculating within the four is therefore the divine, infinite calculus using those four. Then naturally, in the four, we have the seven. So, through the first six, I go out now from the 24 questions answer. The first side of the Holy City, therefore a fourth of 24 is six. Those first six chapters have all the tone of the Word. And you see that very easily when you read those chapters. It starts right out with the question, what is God? You see, the tone is of the Word. What is God? Are these terms synonymous? The synonyms for God, are they synonymous? Is there more than one God or principle? Can you hear the first three give us the absolute sense of this word? And then we have the relative sense of that word of God. What are spirits and souls? Can you see? The counterfeit of God is gods. Counterfeit of the word of mind are minds, counterfeit of spirit are spirits, the counterfeit of soul are souls. So she asks, what are spirits and souls? What are the demands of the science of soul? What is a scientific statement of being? Gives there a metaphysical statement of being. So the first six, you see, have a special tone on the word. Then you have the next six question and answer with a strong tone on the Christ, on the operative sense. Then the third six questions are all on Christianity. You can see that very quickly when you come to Christianity. Is the question, is there sin? What is man? What are body and soul? You see, the focus is right on the question of outcome. Namely, sin, men, body and these things, plus brain think, and things like that. And then the last six question and answer, when you read them through, you get at once a great sense of understanding, that understanding is necessary, that understanding really is the way of reality, that understanding alone has power, that beliefs are powerless, that understanding determines how much of a man we are, that understanding God brings perfection, that understanding God demonstrates itself as immortal fruits, that understanding God makes man a scientist. It's all about understanding. It's just a matter of listening. You know, I said before, and I just repeat it again, you know, there are two ways of reading a textbook, or at least two ways. Either one can read it very slowly, or I can read it very quickly. And both ways have their values. We only have to see when we use the one method and when we use the second method. I would say the first method we should use is when tackling a new chapter is to read quickly. We think this is superficial, but it isn't. If we read in the right mood, so to say, with the right attitude. Namely, when you read quickly, you should read with the ears and not with the eyes. And you should read with the heart and not with the brain. It is reading through the ear, through listening. That means what? That you read quickly and not try to understand each word, understand each sentence, to understand, so to say, every bit of it. But it is to listen, can I hear an overall continuous tone in it? Can I hear something quite different than in the other chapters? This is listening, and means that somehow through listening we hear the tonality of the chapter, not the tonality of the sentences or of the paragraphs. And if we get that, you see, if we get the tonality of the chapter first, then we have the overall tone that afterwards should give to every part its characteristics. We have seen that structure and gestalt shows that every part has, so to say, the general character of the whole. How can we see, therefore, the part in its proper place if first we haven't listened to the whole and have caught, so to say, the tone of the whole? Here, too, I showed you when reading Recapitulation, which is very concentrated in its presentation, which has a very concentrated food. There it's very difficult just to stay with every word and with every sentence because it's so full of import and so full of message that one holds and one loses the general sense of the whole. Therefore, if you read it through quickly, just say, can I see that the first six questions answered have always a tone of God, of the word God? Have the others the tone of the Christ? Have the third six ones the tone of Christianity? And in the last one, for instance, on science, you just can hear that the term that repeats itself is always understanding versus belief versus religious belief. Whereas before that term understanding hardly was used. This gives you a key, you see, what the message really is in a chapter. Yes, so this is recapitulation and gives us really that sense. It's no use to go into these four sides because it's too heavy when one doesn't have the text in front of one's eye and to follow it. It's just enough to see, really, that what is the chapter accomplishing, what is its place value. See that it's quite terrific to think that we can give birth, so to say, to the form of science within us. So that actually more and more that form of science is our being, and we acknowledge it as our being, and no more so much trying as a human man, as a personal I, to get hold of science and to get hold of the teaching of science.